Hello, and welcome to the Oddcast. This is the Dragon's Nest. And this is just a little mini podcast. I'm still trying to find my feet and figure out what the podcast exactly should center around, if it should center around my writing, or if it should center around, stories. Haunted Town is obviously one of the specials, and it may become patron only. So be aware of that. If you like Haunted Town, and you want to continue to follow that particular podcast, you need to go over to Patreon and sign up as a patron. It's $2 a month. You will get your money's worth. You are going to get lots and lots and lots of lovely little me. Today, I'm just doing this little mini cast because there's several things I'm interested in, and there's a different little branch of my writing that I'm going to be pursuing, inspiration and motivation, because it happens to be one of the things that I'm just really good at. I like lifting people. I enjoy teaching them how to see the light within themselves. And I enjoy helping people become better than they thought they could be. It's one of those things that I can look inside of a person, and believe me, no matter how useless you may think you are, you are not. You are not. And if I can get through to you, even a little bit, then that's worth it to me. And lately, I've been thinking about trying to bring this more into my writing because I truly believe this is part of my life's calling, is lifting people up. And God knows we need it. This world has gotten pretty intense, especially lately, especially with all the hate going on and the school shootings and all of this. And there are so many people screaming at each other and hating on each other that I really just want to take this minute to have a little talk with you and tell you why you matter. Okay, and we're going to call this Everyone Has Something. And the reason I'm going into this is because it is a subject that's very close to my heart. I grew up the last of six kids. I grew up with two male cousins, one older, one younger, and my mother, who is an absolutely wonderful woman. She really is. She raised me right. Her and my dad went out of their way to teach me honest morals. And anytime I stray from them, I can almost feel my parents screaming at me. But more importantly, I understand because it makes me feel really icky inside. So, 2 years ago, I left my ex in Germany and I came back home to the States. He's military. And I don't know when it started. I can tell you that in my family, being the youngest, most of my brothers and sisters were old enough to be my parents. I do believe that they started early telling me, and they didn't, I don't believe for a second they meant any harm by it, but they would tell me the things that were wrong with me because I was a strange child. I was very much introverted. I was in my head a lot. I preferred reading over socializing any day of the week. And as I grew older, that bullying started to come from my classmates. Not all my classmates. I was lucky. There was a lot of good people in my school years, but there were some very cruel ones. And they further taught me how little I was worth. And because I was constantly looking outside of myself for acceptance, I was very shy. I was very, very scared of everything. Well, I sank is the only way to put it. That's what bullies do. They sink people. And some of them take really great pleasure in knowing that they've destroyed somebody, that they've picked them apart. And all I can say to you is, rather than attacking these people, accept that karma has a way of getting to people like that. And if you don't believe in karma, trust me, if you pay close enough attention, you start seeing things. And just because it's not visible to you does not mean that these people are not suffering. Personally, I believe waking up every morning and realizing that the only way you can get people to laugh with you is to bully them until they are terrified of you is no way to live your life. It must eventually come to a point where you just wake up and think, why bother? Why bother getting out of bed? So, sometimes being yourself is the worst punishment there is. And for those kind of people, that's probably the case. And you need to remember that if you are a bully, you can change. At any point in time, you can change. You can decide to be the person that brings light into other people's lives, and that's way more powerful. Saving someone else from themselves is way more powerful than trying to destroy them. It takes a truly strong person to help those that are worse off than them. It really does. So, what I kind of want to do today is I kind of want to explore a little bit of inspiration and motivation here. And I want to do it because for the last 2 years, I've been trying to really figure out who I am, where I'm going, why I'm going there. I thought about giving up writing entirely. I'm not going to. I thought about trying to get a regular job. I did. It did not work out. Regular jobs for me often don't work out because I am what you call a black and white person. I either give you everything or I give you nothing at all. I put 100% into everything I do. I mean, we're talking, I obsess. Like, that's part of being. I'm a little bit ADHD. I've always been. And I am very much the kind of person that gets locked into something. And when I'm doing a job, since that's where I spend most of my time, I get locked onto it in such a manner that you know how most people can just go to work and then go home, pick up their paycheck, and not care. That's never been me. And it's a detriment because it means that I'm always going crazy trying to be perfect. And well, you can't be perfect. You're human. And it causes me to make a lot of mistakes or get locked up because I'm afraid of making mistakes. It's something I struggle with a lot. Add on to that that I am extremely introverted. And I'm having this problem with my teeth right now. They're sort of falling apart. Like to the point where brushing them is incredibly painful kind of thing. It's a struggle for me to have a regular job. Personally, I've always believed that I was meant to help people, and that's why I'm designed this way. I don't see it as a flaw outside of jobs like Burger King, something like that. You cannot get obsessed with that job. It will eat you alive, and the people that work there will hate you because you're little miss. I have to do everything right, and so do you. But I worked at a pet care company where all that detail oriented, all of that was a good thing, but at the same time, it was bad because every time somebody else decided they didn't care about something, I couldn't just walk away from it because I would sit there and think about the poor animal. Anyway, getting off topic, which I'm good at, but these last 2 years have been ones where I'm on a learning curve. I'm still on it. I'm still trying to figure out how to make money to support myself without abandoning my writing, because that's the other thing about me, is I get obsessed with whatever I'm doing most, and everything else just goes away. Like if I'm, I don't know, drawing, then I'm just drawing. I don't write, I don't do anything else, I just draw. And I know that this is obsessive behavior, and I know it's not always great, but when it comes to writing books, it's a wonderful behavior. It's a wonderful way to be. Lately, I've been struggling with concentration, but that's a different story. Right now, we're gonna talk about some things that I've learned and something that I want to tell others. Because right now, the person talking to you is not the person I was even 6 months ago. I remember 6 months ago, I was in hell. I was in the worst place possible, you know, and I say that as in mentally, I was falling apart. I had left my husband. I'm trying to get everything to come together. It just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And I start having these episodes where I really hate everything about myself, and I hate who I am and what I'm doing and all of this. And I had to sit down with myself, and you should do this. If you are in one of those places where you're sinking and you feel like you're drowning, this is the first thing you need to do. You need to sit down and you need to have a come to Jesus talk with yourself. And I get it. It's a Christian reference, but you don't have to be a Christian to have this talk with yourself. You need to sit down and you need to figure a few things out. For me, this was asking myself, how serious am I really about writing? Because I've spent the last 20 years doing it. But I had a husband, and the military supported us. And my husband was always very quick to say, that's okay. You don't have to bring any money in. You don't have to have a job. And if I asked for an education, that was an outright no. This as, oh, lucky girl. No. It was a form of control. Okay? And if you were in this kind of relationship, get the hell out. Get out. As soon as you can convince yourself, just get out. It is not love when somebody refuses to allow you even an inch to explore yourself or anything else or any other options. If they come and sit at your job when you have one, when they get angry because you don't have enough time for them because you're working, this is not a show of love. This is control. They are not the same thing. Love is not control. Love is allowing someone to be who they are and loving them in spite of everything else. So, now that we've covered that, it's something I'm obviously very passionate about. Look, have this talk with yourself. Sit down. And I do not want you to play the game of, I'm going to sit down and pick myself apart and be cruel. No. No, this is a very different thing. You are going to sit down in a nice clean space, or you're going to step outside and sit at a picnic table, or you're going to find some place where you're comfortable and it's quiet enough for you to do this. You're going to take a deep, deep breath, about three times. Do that three times. Center yourself. Stop worrying about the future, the past, what you've done, what you haven't done, what you feel guilty about. Forget it. Forget it. None of that matters right now. Because you are just existing in this present moment. And the reason you're doing it is because you need to have this talk with yourself. And this talk consists of asking yourself to be honest and truthful, not just when it hurts. Because here's the thing, lots of people say it's hard to be honest with yourself because the truth hurts. Actually, here's what I've found. It's very easy to not just be honest with yourself when it's negative. It's easy to blow it out of proportion. It's easy to be brutal to yourself and have the sort of self-talk that leaves you feeling like you're the most worthless piece of crap on the planet. Okay? This is easy. Hard is being truthful when it's positive. hard is admitting that you're good at something. And maybe part of this is especially for those of us that were raised to believe that self-love was a form of arrogance. It isn't. It is necessary for mental health. It's necessary for success. So if you want to be successful in anything, I don't care anything, you need to right now accept that there are positive things about you because everyone has something. And yeah, your first response to that is probably going to be the usual American taught, so society taught, oh, no, I have nothing. Because to admit that you have good points is vanity. Bullshit. Vanity is believing that you're better than other people or that you're somehow made better by these things that you happen to be talented at. Let me tell you something. I'm a writer and I'm damn good at it. I am not better than anybody. In a lot of ways, I'm worse than people, but I'm honest about it. When it comes to animals and children, I'm a god. I love them so much and I want to take care of them so bad that I never put a foot wrong if I can help it. And I'm always checking. You know, I'm amazing at that kind of stuff. I love talking to children because they're just fantastic. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. And I realize that a lot of people don't feel the same way I do. I'm not even sure I always feel the same way I do. Sometimes you meet some of those kids that, you know, they want to come up and pet your dog, which is fine. My dogs love kids, but then they haul off and smack the dog and their parents think it's cute. That's not the kind of kid I like. But really what I'm saying is I dislike parents. I'm not good with parents. They need to all take stock of how they're raising their children. Your child may be a snowflake, but there's 6 billion other snowflakes on this planet. Stop teaching them to hit things and think it's cute. It is not. Especially when it's my dog, I'm more than willing to kick you across the park in front of your kid. I don't care. Anyway, no more tangent. What I'm saying is that everybody has a talent. Be it with animals, be it with children. You know, you could have a talent for drawing, you could have a talent for writing, and just because you don't know it's there, well, if you've never tried it, then you're never gonna know if it's there. Go out and try it. But what I want you to do is I want you to sit down and I want you to have an honest talk with yourself. Think about, you know, what are the things you really enjoy doing? Besides sitting on your butt and watching TV, do you like to read? Do you like to explore things? Do you enjoy skateboarding? It doesn't matter. You can make money at all of these things if you're good enough, if you're dedicated enough, if you're devoted enough. The issue is not talent. Everybody has something that they're incredibly good at, that they have a special way of doing it, that no one else knows how they do it, but everybody loves it. You know, I'm not trying to be Stephen King. Why would I? We have a Stephen King. We have an Anne Rice. I don't want to be those writers. I want to be me. I want to find a way that it's all specific to me because that's the important part. But the thing is that the whole reason I had to have this talk with myself is I've spent the last forget how many years telling myself that I'm worthless and being told that I'm not worth very much. That, oh, I'm great with children, but I'm great with dogs, but and cats and horses and pretty much everything else. But because I don't see them as machines, I don't see them as gold waiting for me to dig it out of the ground, it's a problem because I don't fit into those industries. I'm okay with that. I'd rather not fit in if that's the only option. No thanks. I don't want to see animals or children as machines or as just little robots that are supposed to keep quiet and not bother me. I don't want to see that. I look at children and I see the adult they could be, the same way that I tell people all the time, I'm not particularly fond of puppies. Oh, I love to look at them. Who doesn't? But I'm not particularly fond of them because, well, they're difficult. You have to train them. However, when I look at a puppy, what I see is the potential for the dog it could be. And that's what I want. And so I will take them and I will teach them and I will show them the way. And I have great dogs, okay? And kids, when I look at a kid, I don't just see the child that's in front of me. I see the potential for what could be. And if the whole world looked further, maybe we wouldn't be suffering so much hatred and so many people saying, I won't do that because it's not specifically for me. I don't care about that. Why should I? Because it doesn't affect me specifically. Well, part of being happier means being less selfish. It means looking around you and realizing that this is a world full of cogs and we are all part of the same machine. And if you intentionally throw somebody else off balance and out of alignment, then all you are doing is bringing that suffering back to you. That's the meaning of karma. You are setting off a ripple effect that eventually, yes, it will come back and bitch slap your ass. And you're going to deserve it. And you're going to know you deserve it. That's what makes karma what it is. You're going to know you bought it. So, what I'm asking you to do right now is to drop that American attitude. Drop it. You are worthwhile. You are not vain for saying so. You're not any better than anybody else, but you have a talent that is yours alone, that belongs to you, and you're beautifully good at it in your own way. And you need to accept it, no matter what it is. People say, oh, well, artists can't get paid. Really? Go ask a tattoo artist how much they get paid per hour. Can you draw tattoos? Because not all tattoo artists can draw. I mean, I know the really, really good ones can, but not all of them can. Go check out Dreamstime. You can sell them your illustrations. You can sell them your photographs. There are all sorts of things that you can do to make money. And, what I want you to understand is that this closed-minded view, this is how the world works, doesn't have to be your view. This is the viewpoint of so many people. They tell you how worthless you are because you can't get a 4.0 in school. Dude, I practically failed. I mean, I only managed to graduate high school by the skin of my teeth. I mean, like, literally, we are talking, I was a hair away from failing. I managed to graduate. I managed to get into college. The first time was kind of a disaster because I didn't yet understand that when it comes to horses, the industry is cruel. Typically, at least back then, it was not a place for someone like me that feels the pain of an injured animal, because all I can imagine is how would I feel if somebody stabbed me or shot me. I'm one of those people that I can't get away from my imagination. I've always been that person. So I didn't do well. And then I got married. And we got stationed in Texas. And here's where I met the very first person to drop this particular seed into my life. It was my human relations teacher, because I decided to go back to college while we were in Texas. We got transferred, we got restationed in England before I finished my certificate. And that's only because, one of my classes got canceled during the year. But this teacher, on the very first day of class, she was my human relations teacher, and she said, you decide who and what you are. Your subconscious is a pure thing. It doesn't understand lies. So when you tell it something, it doesn't know you're lying to it. Now, it takes a while to reprogram your subconscious, so keep that in mind. But I didn't experiment with it that year. I had failed math, this particular math class, about four times at this point. Three times in high school and once in college already. I was taking the same math class, and I had this human relations class before the math class. That's the beauty part. And she actually used math as the example, and she said to us, if you hate math, this is an example. What you would do is you would literally use this affirmation, I love math. And you would drop it into your subconscious. So every time you think the words, I hate math, you think three times, I love math, I love math, I love math. And you make it sort of a reflex action. You do it enough times, and I can say this for sure because I did it. You do it enough times, and it becomes this just knee-jerk reaction to, I hate math, it's, I love math, I love math, I love math. I got a 99% overall in that class. And I mean, 99% means I missed 1% of all the questions on all the tests that came at me that entire semester. Yeah. And the teacher was great, don't get me wrong, but he was no better or no worse than any other math teacher I'd ever had. Because I'd had some pretty good math teachers. He just happened to be the one that I decided to try this out with. And that was the first seed. And this is important because you can't affect positive change while you're feeding yourself negative thought processes. You have to rework how you think about yourself. You are not a loser. And I'm telling you this right now, you are not a loser. Just because you haven't found your talent or somebody around you doesn't like what you can do or doesn't think that you can make a success out of it does not make them right. That's your choice. You get to choose this. Are you going to succeed or are you going to fail? That's the only question you have to answer. If you say, I'm going to succeed, then just embrace that. And here's something. This is a talent I've had my whole life that I did not realize until lately is actually a talent. I have this thing that when I make a decision, it stays made. Anybody that's played video games with me, in particular, WoW, knows this. When I play World of Warcraft and I decide I want a mount, there is very little that can deter me. Everybody will be standing there telling me how badly I'm going to fail, and they always turn out to be wrong because my attitude is not the game has to give it to me right now. My attitude is I'm just going to keep showing up until it gives me what I want. Period. If I have to show up 2 million times, it doesn't matter if I have to come here for a year, 3 years, 20 years, I'm going to keep coming. And the only thing that's going to stop me is they shut the damn game down. And, well, I've quit WoW because it tends to swallow whole sections of my life. So I've quit WoW. It's not good for my obsessive compulsive behavior. You know, all you have to do is make a decision and never waver. Make that your mantra. Never waver. Never allow yourself to question or doubt. You're perfectly welcome to question your path. Go ahead and ask yourself, you know, could I be doing this in a better way? Is there some better option for getting where I want to be? Is there some better way to do this? Go ahead and ask those questions. Never, ever, ever ask yourself, have I made a massive mistake? Now, I still do it once in a while. Of course, I do. Writing is an unsteady, at best, career choice. And, well, right now I'm going through some financial hoops that kind of suck. So every once in a while I come to this place where my head goes, are you sure? And the thing is that I have this knee-jerk reaction. I love math. I love math. I love math. I have that reaction, that knee-jerk, just absolute, well, duh, of course I do. I ain't quitting now. And I also happen to have this incredible stubbornness. And you can see that in my attitude towards WoW. I actually would tell people about the loot gods. That's what I called them. A lot of WoW people call them the loot gods because, you know, the game just sort of randomly decides, mathematically speaking, when you're going to get what you want. And it may not be when you want it. It may take you years. But if you're willing to show up every single time you're allowed to show up, you're just reminding the game over and over and over again, this is what I want. And this is what I'm telling you. Make your decision. Figure out what you're good at. Figure out what you want to do. Not based on what other people tell you is probable or possible, but based on what you want. And then go after it with everything you have. Go after it, heart and soul. Throw yourself at it. And if you ask questions, ask, how can I do this better? How can I get this to work better? Like right now. My question is not, should I be a writer? Because I know I should be. I have two questions in my head right now. One is, how can I deal with this sudden bout of incredible distracted behavior? My ADHD is just off the chain right now. Like, I can't finish anything. And I like, literally, I'm pretty sure I have a deficiency somewhere because I found one of my favorite children's novels, The Dollhouse Murders, at a used bookstore the other day. And I picked it up because I remember being a kid and just loving this book. Like, so much, I think I tried to steal it from one of my friends, and I don't steal. But, I sat down to read it, and keep in mind, I read it to the point where I actually can tell you the whole story without reading it. And when I sat down to read it, the first paragraph, I read it three times and could not comprehend what I was reading. It was terrifying to realize. I knew I'd been having a lot of distraction problems. There's a reason I pulled bone deep from release. Because I want to settle down and actually do some more work on it. Not just because of the American Indian thing, but I'm sorry, Native American. I really, that word Indian drives me right over the edge because Indians are from India. And, you know, socially speaking, that's a perfect example of social training. That's the word I learned when I was little, and it's really, really hard for me to change what my tongue says when I'm out of whack like this. So I'm looking into vitamins. I've started running seriously again. I know there's something off somewhere that's causing this distraction, but the question is not, should I be a writer? Should I give up? The question is, how do I fix this? And I will, because I'm just that person. I'm going to keep working at it until I figure out what's wrong and fix it. And the other question is, how do I attract more readers? And part of the problem with this is where my doubt lies. I'm a perfectionist. I feel like my present books could be about 100 times better. And I'm going to rewrite and re-release them. And there is this tiny little voice in the back of my head that keeps going, wouldn't it be better to get more patrons after you've made them everything they can be so that they, you know, these new patrons can see how wonderful you are, really talented you are. And I'm having a fight with that voice because I'm of the belief that sometimes people like to see something evolve. Take, for instance, Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. If you know the book and like the book, you're probably thinking to yourself, I know she isn't comparing herself to Douglas Adams. I'm not really. What I'm comparing myself to is his method. The first time he wrote this story, it was a teleplay, or not teleplay, sorry. It was a play for radio. And they did it on the radio back in the day when they did this sort of thing. And it's something I'm considering. Well, I can't even say I'm considering it. I've already started. And that's Haunted Town. But you have to understand that first he wrote it for the radio. And then he rewrote it for another, I think, radio program. And then I think he rewrote it for TV. And then he made it into the book. But the book has gone through about three different versions and rewrites. What you need is The Ultimate Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a beautiful book. I totally recommend it. Please get it. It evolved. And it through each evolution, this book bought him new fans. I can't tell you a single other thing he wrote. I'm sure he wrote other things, but that's the thing that actually strikes me constantly. And all I have to say is, you know, nobody complained about him rewriting that. Every single time he did it, it became better. I personally love the newest version. I love all the versions, but I love the newest one. And there was this thing, this article I read at one point about what it means to be independent author. And basically the gist was that one of the downsides to being an independent author is that everybody gets to watch you evolve in real time. You don't have a major publishing company. You don't have a major editor sitting there and rewriting everything that you've done and reworking everything that you've done to reinvent the wheel, basically. And nobody gets to see you with your pants down. Now, I'm not much of a flasher, but when it comes to writing, I have a theory. I think people like to watch someone grow. I think one of the best things as a reader is when you have a particular person that you enjoy reading and they evolve, like they become better with time. I love following that evolution. I love following that arc. I love picking up every one of their books and realizing not only have they exceeded my expectations, but they've gotten better. I love becoming a fan every single time I pick up a Stephen King book. And he has very rarely failed me. You know, I love that I can pick up Odd Thomas and know that Dean Koontz started out as a romance author under the pseudonym Lee Nichols. And I know how he was when he first came into horror writing. I've read all of his original work. And then you get to Odd Thomas, and he just takes this huge evolutionary swing as a writer and starts writing poetry. And Odd Thomas is just the start of a brand new, like, writer's arc for him, as far as I'm concerned. So when I hear that, oh, you know, you don't want people to see you as you really are, all I can think is, why the hell not? Why wouldn't I want you to see me at my most authentic? That way, you know, I really am who I say I am. When I say I'm not giving up, you know I'm not giving up. You know, there's people that have been with me since getting thin. Alicia Hart, my cousin, she helped me edit it. She's brilliant. She is funny. And she always comes back with an I believe in you. Whenever I start to question myself, this woman always helps me find my feet. My other three patrons, I have three patrons right now, honestly, not a very big number. CB Oliver is one of my patrons, and this is my chance to shout out to them in public. Thank you for believing in me. These are my early believers. They are fabulous. Dee Dee Evelyn, she's another one of my early believers. She believed in me before I ever believed in myself, back when I think we were still in high school. And there's Arianna Cherry. She's another author. We're doing an author-to-author swap on Patreon because neither one of us can really afford to just support another author. But we believe in each other. She has beautiful writing. I totally suggest her books. Please go find them. Her publishing house, Cherry House Press, just put out an anthology. The things, the fears of us all, I believe. Sorry, I'm not looking at the title right now. I sometimes mix up words in my head. These are some of my early believers. I have others. Katherine Peterson. She was an early believer. My dad was the first person in the world to ever say, "You need to be a writer. That's what you need to do with your life." And God, I miss him so much because let me tell you, that man had faith in me for days. And I want you to understand that for me, I don't accept if. I only accept when. This will happen when. And I know I'm good enough. I don't care if I'm as good as Stephen King. I don't care. What I care about is being the best version of me that I can be, and I'm continually trying to evolve that. If I can get enough patrons, I'm going to go into a online school. Not really so much for writing, although I am going to take a writing class to help myself learn to choose what goes into a book and what doesn't. Because right now I have a tendency to ramble, in case you hadn't noticed. And it's hard for me to tell what belongs there and what doesn't. So for me, this is just when it happens. The question is not, should I be a writer? The question is, how can I get through to more people? Because it's not just about me becoming a success. It's about the motivational books that I want to write are aimed specifically at people like me or other people that have a hard time with self-belief. People that weren't born stars is the best way I can put it. I believe that everybody really is their own star and that there is a light inside of you. But some of us are born not knowing how to turn it on. We are born closed up from ourselves, and or we're taught to be closed up from ourselves by society, by our parents, by whoever. But there is a light inside of you. I promise you it's there. I promise you that you can find it if you know how to look for it. And these two nonfiction books are specifically aimed at finding that light in such a way that you can be proud of it, that you can look at yourself in the mirror and go, "Oh my God, I did that. And I'm cool. I did that and I love myself." I want to teach more people how to love themselves. I want to teach you to shine because the world needs more light. There are enough people putting out candles. And I know you've seen that meme. And I'm going to say this right now for all those people out there that think that you need to put somebody else's light out so you can feel better about yourself. What you really ought to try is lighting other people up. Because the high you get from that is way better than putting somebody down and holding them down and drowning them in despair. The light you get from being a helper is so much better and it's so much stronger. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am that kind of person that if you grab me, I'm going to break a bone. I'm the kind of person that if I see you hurting somebody, I'm gonna kick your ass. I'm small, but by God, I have insanity on my side. I am not always the most positive person on the planet. I am not going to preach to you about how you always need to be smiling and never have a negative emotion. Because in conclu you know, I'm going to conclude this with this. Okay? You need your negative emotions once in a while. They help you. Your positive emotions and your negative emotions are necessary. When something's going wrong in your life, it is okay to be sad. I will never tell you to dwell on it, but it is okay to get sad once in a while. Be sad. Feel that sadness. Understand where it's coming from. Then let it go. All these people that are telling you to keep your chin up and always smile and never be angry, never be upset, they're encouraging you to just hide these emotions, and they're like a time bomb. The more you put down there, the bigger the bomb's gonna be, and it will go off. Do not deny yourself sadness or anger. Embrace it, understand it, accept it, and then let it go. Instead of trying to force it down into the basement, just accept that it's part of who you are. Accept it. And then accept that you can let it go, you can let it be gone. Love yourself, be kind and gentle with yourself. And if you have issues with this, if you have trouble with this, I want you to think of something that inspires empathy in you, be it a small child crying or a little puppy without its mother. I want you to think of something that makes your heart go, "Aw." It makes you all soft and fuzzy inside because you feel the need to help that creature and to be kind to it and to lift its spirits. I want you to picture that as your heart. You cannot hate yourself happy. You need to love who you are right now. It's okay to want to change. It's okay to change. First, you have to accept who you are. And you have to accept where you are. Embrace that. Be kind to it. Be gentle to it. And then explain gently to yourself how you plan on changing it. Listen to your heart. And I know that sounds so goddamn cliche, but seriously, listen to who you are inside. And don't deny those things that bring passion to you. Do not deny yourself artwork because you think you can't make a career at it. Do not deny yourself the chance to become a writer because you've never tried it before. Do everything, try everything, and do it with love. If you fail, guess what? You've just learned one more thing that you don't want to do. Keep moving. Keep looking. You're going to find something that you are good at. You're going to find a way to make it work. The person I am today, let me tell you something. If you want to know, like, the biggest difference of all of who I am now as opposed to who I used to be when I first started this with my own Come to Jesus talk 6 months ago, 6 months ago, you could not have got me on a podcast to save my life. Every single word, had I actually started a podcast, would have been paused because I would have been trying to scramble for the right words to make you believe I'm intelligent enough to listen to. Video? Forget it. I never would have video chatted with anybody. I would not have had a patrons page, a Patreon page, because I didn't believe I was worthy. Somewhere secret, deep inside of me, I believed that I was a hack. I was an imposter. I'm not so sure I've convinced myself different. I just ceased to care. This is what I love. This is what I care about. I am good at it. Even if I have my flaws, even if I have my stumbling blocks, I'm good at what I do. It's just a matter of finding a way to make it work. And I'm willing to search for it. I am willing to ask for patrons. I am willing to go out there, and I've got a blog now and I update it regularly. Lately, not as regular as I had been, but that's because I was having book drama and I'm having concentration issues. But I'm still gonna keep working at it. You are somebody. You are worthwhile. This is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to take away from this. And I said this was going to be a mini podcast. I lied. I'm sorry. Not really. But I did this podcast because one of the things that I've been asking myself lately is I feel like there's a disconnect somewhere, and I asked myself, what am I missing? And one of the things that I'm missing from my personal want it list is I want to raise people up on a regular basis. I want to get through to people because I know that if I can do this, so can someone else. If I can find hope, if I can find faith, if I can move on from dark depression. Okay, I wasn't really depressed, but when I say that, and that's another one of those knee-jerk reactions. If you've read my recent blogs, you know why. But I was sad, and I was starting to wonder what I was worth, which is the beginning of real depression. But now, I don't ask those questions. I know what I'm worth. It's just a matter of convincing other people, and I've never really been good at selling myself, but I'm working hard at learning. And I think it's worthwhile. If I can get up here on a podcast and ramble on for an hour about why you should love yourself, if I care about you, whoever is listening to this, if I care about you enough to spend an hour sending this message out into the universe, knowing, and I have faith, it will reach the right ears. So, in all honesty, if you are listening to this, I'm talking directly to you. You are worthwhile. You do have talent. And if you haven't found a way to make it work for you yet, you will. Keep trying, keep asking, keep questioning, keep looking outside the box, keep thinking, gee, everybody else is trying it this way. Maybe I should try it this way. Try the tried and true methods, but also try your own ways. Try it in ways that are specific to you. And keep going. In the words of Walt Disney, keep moving forward. Because you, whoever you are, you're good enough. And you were put here on this planet for some reason. And you may not know what it is, but when you find it, you send me a message. And you tell me, because I care. I want to know. I want to help you. If you're another writer, keep working at it. It is a rocky path, and it is never going to be anything but rocky. Accept it. That's part of our life. That's part of who we are, what we are. You are always going to be trying to figure out a better way. But be proud, because you have not chosen an easy road. And even if you have a talent that is technically an easy road, so what? Be proud. There's some of us that can't manage it. Some of us cannot manage a regular damn job. So be proud of who you are. Be gentle with yourself. Love yourself. Give yourself a nice, warm mental hug. Don't do it like physically. People might lock you up. But I'm kidding. But really, be okay with yourself right now and forgive yourself for anything you think you've done, with the exception of, being a pedophile and an animal abuser and a murderer or somebody that revels in crushing other people. With the exception of those extremes, you probably are a very good person. And even if you're not, you can be. You are special in your own way. All you have to do is figure out how to make it work for you and how to love that about yourself. I always say hate is cancerous because once you start hating, it never stays where you put it. You start out hating one thing, and the next thing you know, you're angry at everything and you are full of just black hatred. But you know what? Love works the same way. Learn to love something you're not particularly sure you like. Someone you're not particularly sure you like. Everybody's got a story. Find theirs. Learn to love them. And the more love you give to yourself and to others, the more it will spread and the more it will fill you. And the more it fills you, the more clear you are going to get on your path in life. Trust me, I know, because I'm standing here right smack dab in the middle of hell. And I, honest to God, can tell you, I know that it can't last forever because I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to. So I love you guys. I will see my patrons later tonight in their personal podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope this helped somewhat. Have a good night, guys, and I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.